the Sunday before Thanksgiving, but we've been having them as of late in a double way in May as well. So if we could, as unto the Lord, let's thank God for Dennis Kutzner today.
Nearly 20 years we've been coming to Mexico, Missouri. I was 18 about that time. So were you. Amazing. God is so good. He gets gooder as days go by. Do not cease to be amazed at the wonderful things he does. Things that bypass us, miss us. And I appreciated the word of encouragement this morning to us, whether it's the sunshine or it's the baby smile, the things that are significant in our life. And I think those of us who are a little older this morning realize that significance takes on a whole new meaning as years go by. What was not significant when I was in my 20s should have been. I should have been investing more in things that were significant when I was younger. I should have been thinking when I became a father of what kind of grandfather I was going to be. I mean, if you have a baby, the potential for being a grandparent is there, is it not? And it will happen, hopefully, sooner or later. And so we all have the opportunity to leave a legacy. When you're gone, those people that were close to you, what will they remember? That's a gift that you're giving, that keeps on giving. So how you influence and impact people is greatly significant in our lives. It has been a privilege to come to this church and to participate in activity and fellowship. I was sharing with Pastor, I don't know of a church in our organization of churches that doesn't have a greeting meeting time during a service where everyone begins shaking hands. This one, though, leads the pack. If Pastor wouldn't cut you off, we'd probably set up the barbecue grills and just having that kind of, the buzz that goes on while we're sharing with one another. That speaks volumes about relationship. And I want to concentrate this morning in the few minutes that we have together. I've chosen a passage, and Pastor was kind enough to allow me to offer communion this morning, because I want to look at a passage in the book of 1 Corinthians. I'm sure you're familiar with it. When we have communion, often this is a passage that is read. And I've taken some time to look a little closer at it. I appreciated one of the songs we sang this morning about one spirit, one voice praising God. We are the body of Christ. I've entitled this message, Who is the Body of Christ? And last night, Jennifer gave me a thought about it. And I'm going to retitle it or subtitle it, What the Bible Says About Selfies. It's amazing, isn't it, with technology, the words that are now considered pronouns and nouns that we didn't even think of before. How many have taken selfies? How many have no idea what I'm talking about? Okay. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. beginning at verse 23, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. The Apostle Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth. He says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Specifically, in the Seder meal, which of course this is the Passover meal, there are four cups. This is the third cup, and it's called the cup of blessing. It was this cup that Jesus took and introduced the sacred act of communion that we now take with the juice and the bread. Cup of blessing. He did not do the fourth cup. He said at this point in the Gospels, he said, "I'll not drink of this cup again until the kingdom comes." Then he'll take the fourth cup. So at the supper of the Lamb, which is one of the first things we'll do together when the body of Christ is together in heaven, is we'll sit down and have a meal. All the coconut cream pie you can eat. And for us that can't have sugar, there won't be any sugar. Or there will be sugar and it won't bother us anymore. Hallelujah. That cup is called the cup of victory. So he's going to drink the cup of victory at the meal that we eat together in heaven. So it's that cup, the cup of blessing, that he says, "This is my blood in the new covenant. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." No routine here of how often you're to do it. You can do it every day, twice a day. But the tradition is when you do it, you are recognizing something, aren't you? You're acknowledging something. We'll say more about that in a moment. Verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." How many would agree there's a lot of things that are being done on the streets of America to protest and to proclaim things? I've not seen anybody taking communion. Personally, I don't think it would be inappropriate. He says, as often as you do this, you do what? There's a proclamation that's given. I dare say that if people were to see us receiving communion on a street corner, most would say, "What are they doing?" And there would be some that would say, "Well, that's what you do in church. That they call that communion. Well, why are they doing that?" Well, because according to the Bible, that's when you do that, you're recognizing what Christ did. So without saying a word, the act of communion is a testimony. I'm not suggesting we go out this week and find a street corner, but how many would agree it would certainly gather attention? And there'd be a lot that would be opposed to it. So be it. Verse 27, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, we when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come." Apparently, the Corinthian church was gathering together for what would be now known, or was even then known, as an agape meal, a meal of love. And so they would come together and eat together. Unfortunately, at the church at Corinth, Paul has been hearing that there are factions, there are divisions or schisms among them on account of or as a result of this meal. And the truth of it is that there were some people who didn't have enough to eat, and they were coming to this meal, and they were being left out of it. There were so many schisms and divisions that they were all gathered together in their little group and you know, forcing out other people, and so people were being missed in all of that. The real emphasis of love and relationship and fellowship was being bypassed for self-possession. And Paul is addressing that here. And in the midst of that, he zeroes in on the meal itself. The coming together is not for the eating of food. The coming together is for the fellowship of partaking together in a relationship, an intimate relationship that we have with Christ and his body. So let me give you some thoughts. You've got a piece of paper and a pencil. Write these words down, and then we're going to look at them here quickly. And they all begin with the letter R, so they'll be easy to remember. And that's the first word, remember. Remember. The second, ransom. Ransom. The third, respectable. Respectable. Four, research and reflect. Number five, for letter R, recognize. Recognize. Number six, here's a word, rickety. R-I-C-K-E-T-Y. Rickety. Seven, reclined. And number eight, the last one, for the letter R, reproved. Reproved. All right, let's look at them a little bit closer. So the first word, remember, Paul is saying that when we partake of this communion, the blood and the body, the juice and the bread, we're remembering Christ. We're remembering what he did for us. And we need to remember because we so easily forget. Israel leaves Egypt miraculously. Plague after plague, God brings against the Egyptians. The final one that allows separation from Egypt to transverse the Sinai into the Promised Land. He protects Israel from that angel of death. How? By the blood. The blood on the doorpost of the heart. Eternal death bypasses us, and we have eternal life. The Jews, the moment they get into the wilderness, the moment they're in the wilderness and they face a flooded river that's going to be impossible for them to cross over, and behind them are the Egyptians pursuing them. Instead of saying, well, you know, don't forget what he just did for us. If he did all of that for us to get us here, surely he's not going to let us perish here. That wasn't the attitude. The attitude was, let's go back. Let's give up. Let's give in. They needed to remember. They no more than get across that water miraculously. And the same water that God stands up to allow them to go across, not on muddy ground, but it says dry ground. The waters close up and destroy the enemy that was pursuing. Now on the other side, again, they need water. Now they need water. They had all of that water, but now they need water. And remember, we're talking about a population of upwards to 1 million people camping out, and they've never been camping before. Of course, God provides miraculously once again, but they keep forgetting. And we're no different than the Israelites. We forget very quickly. That's why we're told here, number one, one of the things that we're doing here, we do it so we'll remember what he did for us and how important and how life-changing that is. Secondly, and connected to that, the word ransom. We recognize the Lord's death, his sacrifice. He paid the debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. Remember that song?
Yep.
He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, he, Christ Jesus, paid the debt that I could never pay. Ransomed me. By the way, that was free. That didn't cost any extra. So when we receive the communion, we're remembering the Lord's death. He ransomed me. I was in the marketplace of sin, and he went to the auction block, and he paid the price to take me off of the auction block and set me free. So I worship him. Then the word respectable. Taking this cup and this bread worthily. There are those who take it unworthily. And I believe what that means is they are not showing respect for the body of Christ. They're disrespecting the body of Christ. And we'll get to that even more so in a moment, because there are consequences for receiving the communion unworthily. Not showing respect to the body of Christ has consequences against our own body, which is why Paul says, let a man examine himself. Take a selfie. But it's a lot more than just taking a picture. The word here in the original language means to research, to dig. How many before the internet, you remember how you had to do research? You went to the library, you pulled out all the books that you knew would be where you would look for what you needed to look for, and then you'd get a big table, you'd have your legal pad and your pencil, and you'd open those books and you'd begin reading. And I don't know about you, but it was always an adventure for me, because I knew what I wanted to find. And when I found it, what a rejoice, you know, rejoicing celebration that I found what I was looking for. Now all you have to do is write it in Google, and within seconds, you go right to the spot, and then you can copy and paste it and cheat. So research, look deeply, dig for it, and then reflect on it. This is one of the few times in Scripture where we're told to look for something that's wrong. Of course, the question is, what are we looking for? We're looking for that within us that is disrespecting the body of Christ. Yes, we're looking for sin that we've not asked forgiveness for, we've not repented of, but generally that particular sin has to do with the body of Christ. Or may I use the term relationships? All right, let's take another step. Paul says that those who are taking it unworthily and not showing respect to the body of Christ are not discerning the body of Christ. Not discerning, not recognizing the body of Christ. We're all familiar, are we not, with Matthew 18, the three steps that we're to take when someone offends you. We've all been offended at some time or another, and we'll be offended again. Somebody will sin against us. That's human nature. That's just the way life is. How we respond to that is more important than what they did to us. Because if we follow the steps, there's no reason we should be in conflict with anyone if we follow the steps. And the steps are, if someone offends you, you are to, this is what Jesus said, you're to go to that person and tell them what they did or what they said that offended you. And if they'll hear you and they'll work with you on it, then you've gained relationship. If they don't receive it, then the next step is for you to find at least two or more witnesses, those who will go with you to that person. And again, the goal is you're attempting reconciliation. You're not just trying to get them to admit what they did wrong, but you're wanting healing and forgiveness to go between. You're forgiving them and they're forgiving you in all of that process. So you're recognizing the body of Christ. I challenge us to think that the real unworthiness that Paul is referencing here in not discerning the body of Christ is having these broken relationships that we've not dealt with. And when we receive this communion, by not dealing with those relationships, we are drinking unhealth or we're creating an unhealthy environment for our physical bodies. Now, I didn't say this, but Paul said some are sick and weak. And some are even what? Asleep. Now, what does that mean? That's right. So the next two words, I'm going to come back to recognize, but the next two words, because they haven't properly discerned the body of Christ and recognized in their relationships that they're not healed and reconciled, their bodies are weak and sickly or rickety. I'm not suggesting that anyone who is sick, they're sick because of that, but it's possible. And particularly in the body of Christ, in the church, that our sickness may be a result of our unforgiveness. Pretty heavy, isn't it, when we think about it in that regard? Right, doctor? Pretty sick. I know I've had some relationships and offenses in my life that made me physically sick. When I thought about it. See, here's the problem. We have so messed up the steps that normally, Pastor Ron, I'm going to suck this out of my thumb like Bishop Pano used to say, 99.9% of the time, nobody does step one in the body of Christ. We usually do step two. Instead of going to the person that offends us, we find two or three other people and we tell them about it. And we're not going to them so they'll go with us to try to reconcile. We're telling them to try to get them on our side. How many know people like that? Nobody's here like that, but we all know people. Now, the truth of it is, if I'm offended, that's one thing. But if my sharing with somebody else makes them offended at my offense, the truth of it is, they're worse off than I am. They're even madder at the person that offended me. Or they'll skip number two and they'll go and tell the whole church. And then we wonder why there's schism and we wonder why churches split. Why there's division in families and homes. If my wife offends me, it is ungodly and it's disrespecting not only our marriage, but the body of Christ if I go to somebody else and tell them what she did to offend me, or vice versa. the truth of it is, nobody other than God should ever know what's going on between her and me. If we're doing the Christ thing and working through it, the chances are, if we would take step number one, maybe 99.9% of all the problems that we have would go away. If we do it with the right attitude, the right spirit, we'd gain that brother or that sister. So would marriages be gained if we take that approach. So not only rickety, but even sleep, some have permanently reclined. They're dead. Now, he doesn't tell us who they are. He doesn't give names, but he's telling us that there are people at Corinth that fit into those categories because of not recognizing the body of Christ. And here we're challenged to take a selfie. I'm to look into my heart, and if there's someone that I'm not reconciled with, and I've not done everything I know to do to try to heal that relationship. And how many would agree? You can do everything that's humanly possible, and they still can reject it. But that's their choice. And now they have to deal with that. But if my heart is clean, that I've done what I can do and what I should do, then I should zip my lip. And not let it bother me anymore. Give it to the Lord and let Him heal it. Because if I don't check myself, if I don't research and look deep down inside and with the aid of the Holy Spirit find those areas in me that are offensive and that will cause me to disrespect the body of Christ, if I don't do that, then He will. And when He reproves and He rebuffs and He rebukes, and He reprimands, you'll get it. It's going to the woodshed. Perhaps you've never been taken to the woodshed by the Lord. But I have. So what about it? We're about to take communion here in a moment. Celebrate what He did for us. Recognize and remember what debt He paid for us. I wonder if we shouldn't take a few minutes and just look into your own heart. Do a self-reflection. Do a little research right now and meditate and let the Lord help you with it. And if there's a relationship that you haven't dealt with, at one point the Bible says if you go to the altar to lay your gift and you remember that there's something not right between you and somebody else, then don't do anything more. Leave your gift there. Go and make it right and then come back. And I challenge this morning. If there's something wrong and we can't make it right, then it's not ungodly for you not to receive the communion. If there's something wrong, don't receive the communion. Make it right. Make the relationship right. Do all you can do to make it right. Whether it's a spousal relationship or it's a parent-child relationship or it's a mother-father or, you know, family relationship or a work relationship or a school relationship or wherever. Make it right. Go to them. Love them, forgive them, and see what God has in store. How much more bold would be the body of Christ today? How much greater would be our opportunities and the gospel proclaimed and preached if the body of Christ were truly manifesting this kind of relationship, fullness and complete. Amen? God, You've heard us. You gave us the Word. You put it in our heart. And You're touching all of us here this morning. And we don't have to be downhearted or distressed over it. If You've shown us something and we've looked into our heart here in these few moments and we've seen a relationship that's not where it ought to be, and we know that we need to take a step and we need to work toward reconciliation. We thank you for that, and that we are properly and adequately and respectfully discerning the body of Christ. And as we do this morning, Lord, may this take on a new significance in our relationship as the local body of Christ. That if in the days ahead there should be any time that we are offended or we are an offense, that we will diligently work to bring about reconciliation in that relationship. And that it doesn't have to be something that spreads like a disease. Rather than the disease, we can spread the love that is generated because of following your example. May we be healed today if there is sickness or weakness because of unworthily behavior on our part. Heal us, we pray today, in the act of this communion. And we'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. As you go to family events this week to celebrate Thanksgiving, I pray you'll go with a true heart of thanks. And even in those relationships, let's make it a joyful day and a day of love. And maybe we'll even surprise our uncle that we distaste if we love them with the love of Christ. Who knows what God can and would do. Amen.